Welcome to the Life Church Podcast. We are an Acts 2:42 community, a family on a mission to bring the life of Jesus to Warrington. We hope you're ready to hear what God has to say to you today through His Word and by His Spirit.
So, we are continuing our three-week prayer series, like our mini-series. Last week, Nick preached on inward prayer and the importance of praying together with each other and collaboration and with Jesus, and how we are all little houses of prayer. And that stuck with me all week. But in my head, I was like, little house on a prairie all week. Does anyone else remember that show? So it ruined it for me too. But it did remind me that I was a little house of prayer all week. So thanks for that, Nick. Okay, so today we are focusing on our prayer up with Jesus, our intimacy with God, and the who, what, where, when, and how of praying up. So first I have a question. What is your prayer life like now? If you could gauge your prayer life by temperature right now, would you say it was hot or cold or lukewarm? Or would you say you were intimate with God now? Are you intimate with God as you are right now? Just have a think about that for a moment. So, who should pray and who is prayer for? Now, I don't want to begin with a guide of how to teach your nan to suck eggs, because I don't know why your nan sucks eggs. But I do want to reiterate that prayer, personal prayer to God, isn't just for the elite Christian or for church leaders or for people who've been walking with Jesus for a long time or just for really good people who are doing really good things. Prayer is for everyone. Everyone. Even when we're stuck, even when we're bad, prayer is a one-on-one conversation with God. We don't need people to pray for us, even though that's really good. We can come to Jesus as we are, right to his feet. But why do we pray? Why is it important? We can often think, why does God care whether I pray to him or not? If he is all-seeing, all-knowing, why does he need me to pray? And that's a question that I've asked myself in the past a lot. And I don't know the exact answer to that. But what I do know is that Jesus tells us to pray. And he prayed a lot. Yes. Prayer is mentioned throughout the Bible, both Old and New Testament, so we know it's a big deal. Jesus teaches us to pray with the Lord's Prayer. I bet we all can recite it now, couldn't we? If I said go now, you could all like say it, couldn't you? So it must be important. Jesus led by example, and he had an exceptional prayer life. Yeah. So we'll go into Jesus a little bit later on. I'm just going to have some water. I get really thirsty up here. So, I think us praying to God isn't for God as such. He doesn't need us to pray to do his God business. He knows everything about us. He's all-seeing and all-knowing. And he is our creator. He knows our needs. He knows our heart and all that jazz. But actually, prayer is for us. We're the benefactors of that intimate prayer time with God. I'll say that again. We're the benefactors of that intimate prayer time. We get the honor of coming into our holy God's presence and submit all our requests to him, all our cares and worries. We can literally pray at any time of the day, at any moment, and he hears us. And that is just amazing, and that is a gift. But are we connecting to God as we pray? Are we listening to what he is saying to us, or are we just coming with a bunch of mumbo jumbo? Now, I've heard different variations of this analogy, so I'm not going to claim it to be my own, but I just think it's really good. So, think of God as a satellite in the sky, right? He's transmitting his signal over the world, like, pew, 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 pew. And now think of the Holy Spirit as a satellite receiver, pew, 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 pew. And God tells us in 1 Corinthians 3:16, don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? So we all have that satellite receiver inside of us to receive it. So we are a TV, right, in this scenario. Picture that. We can be plugged in and we can be switched on, but if we've not got our satellite receiver on, we're not going to get a lot, just a bunch of static and white noise. What happens when we switch our receiver on? We get a clear picture. We get sound. We get information. We become what we're intended to be, a functioning TV with clear sound and picture transmitting to the people around us. Prayer is like the aux cable connecting us to that satellite receiver. It's how we hear from God, receive vision, wisdom, comfort, whatever we need. That is what prayer is for, to connect us. because God wants us to receive in high definition. So this time of receiving is where we can get a deeper understanding of who God really is, get an idea of his plans and purposes for us, and it keeps us in line with the path that he wants us on. It grows our relationship with him, and that's what he desires for us, because God desires us. It recharges our truth batteries. If we're having a time of stinking thinking, God will certainly correct us, because it syncs our will with God's will, and God doesn't want us to think like that. I can see from experience I've gone through times where I'm connected and receiving in full, and I felt amazing and connected to God, and sometimes I don't even think I'm plugged in. I'm just nothing. The world we live in and the lives we lead are busy, I get that. But with God, everything is better. Everything is clearer. James 1, 17 to 18 says, "Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in heaven. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give us birth to us by giving us his true word. And we, out of all creation, became his prized possessions." We are God's prized possessions. Us, all you in this room. So, when shall we pray? Let's take a look at Jesus. Luke 6, verses 12 to 13 says, "One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying with God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles." So Jesus had a really important decision to make. Who was he going to choose to be his closest friends and disciples? Who he was going to pass on all his wisdom and knowledge to? Who he'd trust to spread his message after he was gone? And he spent the night praying to God about it. And we don't know what Jesus was praying. It's not recorded because he went to a private, solitary place to pray alone. And that's really important. So how often do we seek God before making a decision? And I'm not talking about little decisions like, what should I make for dinner tonight? Although sometimes I really need the Lord's help with that one. It's like every day, forever. And when I get to heaven, I hope somebody else is doing the cooking. So we need to and should seek God's guidance with the big decisions in life, even the little decisions. Why? Because God has a plan. And if it's a decision from God, we know it'll work together for good. He knows what's best for us and what lies ahead of us and what we need. So Philippians 4, 6 to 7 tells us to pray about everything. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus." So it's not just decisions we should seek God's help with. It's every situation. We face battles and challenges all the time, whether it's spiritual battles, health battles, financial battles, marriage battles, whatever we're facing, present it to God in prayer. But to win these battles, you need the right strategy and resources. God is the strategy and prayer is the resource. So where should we pray? There is no magic in the place you choose to pray, but it should be a place without distraction. It should be a place where you can fully focus your heart and your mind on God. So Jesus teaches us this in Matthew 6, verses 5 to 6. "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." And Jesus practiced what he's preached. Luke 5 to 16, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Luke 6, 12, "One of those days Jesus went out on the mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God." So find that place that works for you. Whether that's going on the walk, going to your bedroom and closing the door, or even if it's just a chair that you sit in when you pray. Put your phone on Do Not Disturb. If you're reading your Bible, use your paper copy instead to just minimize that chance of distraction. Tell the people in your house that you're going to go and spend some time with God, so please don't disturb you. Like, people will respect that, kind of, sometimes. Depends on your family, really. Go to that place, clear your mind, and wait in his presence and connect to that receiver. So, how and what should we pray? Once in that private place, remember to be quiet to listen to God as well as speak to him. God gave us two ears, two eyes, and only one mouth. So keep that in mind, that it's a two-sided conversation. Allow God to speak to you as well. Pray out loud if you can. There's power in using your voice. I'm not saying you always have to pray out loud. It's appropriate to pray on the inside as well. But the Bible tells us that there is power in the tongue. It pleases God, and it is a form of submission and surrender to him, and it's a weapon against the enemy's schemes. John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. James 4:7, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Remember, prayer is not a ritual. It is us acknowledging that God is God and he's always present around us. It is us tuning into him, submitting to him. What does not praying actually say? So think of your heart as a throne room. Last time I preached, it was a car, but now it's a throne room. Who is on that throne? Is it you or is it Jesus? Because there's not enough room for both of you. If you want God in your life and in charge of your life, you have to surrender your heart to him. So when you pray, connect to that satellite receiver by acknowledging God, that God is God and Lord of your life. Acknowledge that you need him. Acknowledge that your blessings are from him and thank him for them, and invite the Holy Spirit to help you. Confess your sins to him. Confess what's really on your heart. Have you ever played a game of hide and seek with a toddler? Hide and seek is such an underrated game. I love it. When they play, they put their hands over their eyes like this, don't they? And suddenly, they are completely invisible and we have no idea where they are. Does that sound right? Nope. They are right there, exactly where they were, hilariously visible. There's no hiding. So when you come before God and start confessing, be real, because God sees your heart. So don't think you're hiding anything from him. You can't just cover and he can't see you. You can't play hide and seek with God. He wants to hear it from your lips. Not because he needs to hear it, because when we allow ourselves to become vulnerable, when we confess our sins and confess our feelings, when we're honest about what's really going on with us, something inside of us changes. It activates that Holy Spirit within us, and light is shined on the dark places. Chains are broken. Real repentance and honesty leads to restoration in us. And if you want change and freedom, that starts with you being really honest with God. Repentance leads to intimacy with God. It builds trust and it builds relationship. So change the flow. Just pray what you've got. If you've got bitterness, pray that. If you've got hurt, pray that. If you've got worry, pray that. With no filter. If you're struggling to pray, ask yourself, is this a performance? Am I holding back from God all the ugly stuff? Because prayer isn't a place to be good. It's a place to be real. Yes, humble yourselves before God. Yeah, I watched a video that someone shared with me that said those things, and that two-thirds of the Psalms are what the scholars call lament. Lament is different from complaining. Complaining is just griping about your life, and it tends to make a bad problem worse. Whereas lament is complaining to God. It has a U-shape to it. You go down into your pain, but then you offer it back up to God. We give God our feelings, and it makes our prayer come alive and brings us closer to him, even when we're disappointed or in pain. We want to be living that authentic life with God, nothing hidden. So 1 Peter 5:7 says, humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. So now what? You've done all that. The next thing is have a prayer plan. So another question, how often do you really pray for your loved ones, your husband, your wife, your parents, your children, your friends, your enemies, the things you're struggling with? I think if we were all to be completely honest, the answer would be not as often as we probably should. I'll just tell you a quick story. When I first gave my life to Jesus, I desperately wanted Adam to give his life to Jesus too. So I took it upon myself to thrust my newfound faith upon him. I would read scriptures at him. I'd tell him that he needs Jesus. I tried all sorts. For 5 years, and nothing was happening. And I was a new Christian, and I thought it was up to me to save him. But I couldn't have been more wrong. God gently showed his grace towards me and taught me that I need to get on my knees and pray for my husband. Really pray. So I gave up trying to save him. In fact, I stopped everything I was doing and I started praying in the secret place for Adam. And I started this prayer journal and I formed a prayer strategy. I began going to that secret place every day and writing out my prayers. I was declaring scripture over Adam and my family. And I stopped fighting and I let God do the fighting for me. Because when things are hard and we're trying to do things in our own strength and things are not going the way we want them to go, it's not our job to do the heavy lifting. It's God's job. That is something only God can do. Because if God is for us, who can be against us, right? Do you know how long it took? I'm not going to open it because my hands are shaking, actually. Do you know how long it took? The first page in this journal is dated the 28th of January, 2017. I've tried for 5 years before this point. That was the date that I fully surrendered the task to God. I was like, Lord, it's in your hands now. And I got out the way. Let me just say that again. I got out the way of God. Adam gave his life to Jesus in the March. Less than 2 months later, and then was baptized on Easter Sunday that same year. Like, God is so good, but he gives you some humble pie sometimes, doesn't he? We need to stop trying to do things in our own strength. We need to get out of the way and let God work, because he has already won the victory. Hand it over to him, bring it to his feet, and all you have to do is ask. Matthew 7:7. Keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you.
Thank you, Lord.
However, I'm not saying you'll all get a prompt answer to prayer like I did in that case, but I have had many, many big answers to prayer by doing those similar things. But God hears our prayers and he does answer in his own way.
Yeah.
But have a prayer strategy. Form a battle plan with God in the secret place. Write out prayers if that's your thing. Use the Lord's Prayer as a guide if you need to, because you all know it now. Let me tell you, prayer journaling, this is not my thing. It's not my natural. But it helps me to focus my heart and my thoughts on God. It helps me to focus on the scriptures. When I write out scriptures, I reflect on the words. They just hit different. But those are words that God has given to us. It helps you focus your prayers. It helps you focus your praising. Have you ever written out a thank you letter to God? It's quite an emotional thing to do. Once you start writing all the things that God's done in your life, it gets quite emotional, let me tell you. In fact, that's your homework. Next week, everyone write a thank you letter to God. Write down the names of those you're praying for. Or stick up photos of loved ones around that prompt you to pray for them. Start a prayer journal or a scrapbook or put up a notice board somewhere in your house. Write out scriptures and pray them over the situations and your family. You can make a prayer plan for every area of your life if you want to. If you don't know what to pray, ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. Don't let confusion or not knowing what to pray be a barrier to that intimate time with God. Pray what you've got. But as you do, seek him wholeheartedly in it all from start to finish. Trust him wholeheartedly in it all from start to finish. And stand on his word wholeheartedly from start to finish. God keeps his promises to us. Matthew 6:19-21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Yeah.
So when should I pray and how long do I pray for? There is no right or wrong answer. If you're not used to it, it's going to feel awkward at first. You don't know what to do, what to say, how long to pray, how long to listen. But you will find your flow. The Holy Spirit will help you.
Yeah.
But the more time you spend with God, you'll naturally want to increase it. You don't want to leave his presence. We know Jesus would spend the whole night praying. We know Daniel in the Old Testament did not stop praying, even when it put him in danger. I find myself in a constant flow of prayer now, like an ongoing conversation in my heart. And that's happened more over time. He's probably sick of my voice now. But thankfully, God doesn't think like that, does he? That's my stinking thinking. So even when I don't know what to pray, I do think about this verse. 1 Corinthians 14:15. Well, then what should I do? I will pray in the Spirit, and I will also pray in words I understand. I will sing in the Spirit, and I will also sing in words I understand. But give God your best time. If you're not a morning person, then I wouldn't say give him your morning time, because you're going to come up to him, chuntering to him about the early start and how tired you are, and that's probably not the best opener to God, like, oh. But then again, if you're being real and you want to chunter and you need the discipline, then do that. But if you're a night owl and you come alive at night, give him that time. Yeah. Set it a time. Set that time aside and stick to it. Distractions are constant and they're hard. Yeah. I'm my biggest distraction. I am queen procrastinator. If there's something to distract me, I will find it. And if I don't, my husband, my kids, or my dogs will on my phone. There's always something. So have a backup plan. I recently heard this point made by Jason at Lim, which had never occurred to me before, but I really wanted to share it with you because I thought it was really relevant. Everyone knows the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000, right? Yeah? Does anyone know what happened just before? So, Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, had just been beheaded, his cousin, and his disciples just came to tell him what had happened. So he just heard that news. His cousin had died in an awful and humiliating way. So Jesus said this to his disciples, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went out away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But Jesus' plan to go away was scuppered. He saw huge crowds of people following him, so that plan did not work out. But many who had saw them leave and recognized them and ran on foot to the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus is mourning the loss of his cousin. The last thing I want to do at that point is preach to 5,000 people, but Jesus had compassion on them because what a guy he is, always putting others before himself. But then afterwards, immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of them to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on the mountainside to pray. Rather than moving on to the next task, Jesus knew he had a priority, had to prioritize that time with his Father in prayer. So he sent his disciples off, and he had a backup plan for when his plan did not work out. He just moved his schedule around because that time with God was more important than the next task. It was a priority to him. So thankfully, our God is not defined by time. He is outside of time. So we can come to him whenever or whenever we want. And we can pray against distractions, yes, but distraction still happens. So have a backup plan. Set reminders. Just prioritize going to that quiet place to pray with him when you can. Prayer is a discipline, yes. But more than that, it is a privilege. Prayer is a privilege. It is such a gift. So, a little recap and application. Find a place that works for you. We're all different. We all use different things to connect, whether that's through worship, walking, journaling. Find whatever will help you focus in private. These are prayers up between you and Jesus. Connect to that satellite receiver. Invite the Holy Spirit to take over. Invite the Holy Spirit to pray for you. Just make sure you're connected. Surrender it all to God. Acknowledge who he is. Acknowledge you need him. Acknowledge you are thankful for Jesus' sacrifice for you. Just surrender it all to God. Have a prayer strategy ready if it will help you. It's not always about a battle plan. Just hang out with God too. Bring what you've got, be real, and be personal. Write out your praises and requests if you're easily distracted. Writing can help you focus. Remember to listen. Two ears, one mouth. Have a backup plan, and sometimes even a backup to your backup plan. Things will get in the way. It's good to be prepared. Because of Jesus, we can come boldly to the throne of God. Hebrews 4:16. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. So what is your prayer life like? My prayer for you all is to, of course, be on fire for God in the private prayer place. Don't sit on the fence lukewarm, because nobody likes lukewarm. It's not good for you. It's not good for God. But your prayer life is what you make it. Nobody can heat it up for you. It's up to you. You have the choice. You have the power to change your intimacy level with God. No one else. So let's just close our eyes for a sec. Lord Jesus, I just pray for every single person in this room that in that private, secret place, Lord, that they have a deeper intimacy with you, God. I pray, Lord, that barriers that are stopping them from doing that, you remove them in your mighty name, Lord Jesus. I just pray, Lord, set a fire of passion in our hearts to grow closer to you, Lord. In your name, Jesus.
We've come to the end of this week's message. We hope you've been impacted and inspired. Please keep up to date with everything that's happening by visiting our website at www.lifechurchwarrington.com.